What do you think about the Gila Cliff dwellings? Well, Michael Swickert here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. We're sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Glad you could join me for a podcast about history and culture in New Mexico. We have an emphasis on agriculture since three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I use agriculture. And I use the Fresh Chili Company between for snacks. Thanks, agriculture. Got an interesting email from a listener. He's planning a trip back to southern New Mexico after almost 50 years of being away. You see, his grandparents lived in Deming, New Mexico, so he was able to visit when his grandfather was still alive. He lives about 40 miles east of Flint, Michigan. He asked me about the Chino mines at Santa Rita and also about the Gila Cliff dwellings. Well, first, let's talk about the Gila Cliff dwellings in southwestern New Mexico. As the word dwellings implies, people used to live in this area of what was and is now New Mexico, that was near and is near the Arizona border. While it perhaps isn't quite as spectacular as the cliff dwellings at Mesa Verde and near Durango, Colorado, it is still quite impressive. About 1,000 years ago, the people of the Mugion, a Pueblo culture Native American tribe, were attracted to the water in the streams and used the area for agriculture. They carved rooms into the cliffs for a couple of generations where they made pottery and they did quite well. I'm assuming that something such as the weather inspired them along about the year 1300 AD to move more toward the Tucson area. Other nomadic tribes on and off over the many years inhabited those dwellings. Now, I just mentioned Mesa Verde, the Four Corners area of Colorado. It's the largest archaeological preserve in the United States. Established by President Theodore Roosevelt in 1906, the Gila Cliff dwellings were established by Roosevelt the next year. He really did like that. It's on the southern part of Catron County, about 44 miles from Silver City, if you take New Mexico 15. The hike from the visitor center along the Cliff Dweller Trail to the Cliff Dwellings is open to the public from 9 to 4 each day. It's free. And there's also a free Canyon Companion at the Trailhead Bookstore. There's also staff there often to answer questions. Now, it'll take 90 minutes to 2 hours to drive the 44 miles from Silver City up to that spot due to the very mountainous road. Now, I have to tell you, it depends on what kind of person you are, but your cell phone, it can take plenty of pictures, but there's no cell service anywhere in that area. The hike to the dwellings is a moderately strenuous 1 mile round trip, and it takes perhaps an hour or more. No pets are allowed on the trail. You hear that, Lambert? You're not allowed. That's my dog, Lambert. Just told him he couldn't go. There's no food, but you should bring plenty of water. No flavored drinks, none of that stuff, because they're trying not to attract animals into the area. But bring plenty of water. Wear good hiking shoes along with a good hat. Do not venture off of the trail. Well, that's really important. Be prepared for a wilderness feeling. I've had several people tell me that when they were walking along there, nobody else was near them, they felt like what it must have felt like 1,000 years ago. The Gila Cliff Dwellings was one of several special New Mexico treats that I tell people about when they come and visit our little slice of paradise. Also, when you're in New Mexico, there are the Carlsbad Caverns. Boy, if you get off by yourself there, not everybody in a group, it gives you a real feeling of isolation. White Sands, I really like that area. And you know what else I like? I like the special vistas available when you take the Albuquerque Tram, the Summit Tram. Boy, is that nice. And when you're in the southern New Mexico area, there are some great views of Santa Rita and Chino Mines. I'm going to talk about that next. Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Now, this writer of an email to me said he and his family were interested in the Chino mines. It's known as the Santa Rita Mine or the Santa Rita de Cobre Mine, has a number of things. Santa Rita, New Mexico is such an interesting place since the town, many years ago, sat squarely on top of a treasure trove of copper. And the owners of that area, they liked the town, but they liked the ability to mine copper even more. So there is a term. This is something you don't find anywhere else. People who were born there or lived there use this term. They say, "I was born in space." You know who says that? It's former Apollo 17 astronaut Harrison Smith, Jack Smith. Since the hospital where he was born, July 3rd, 1935, was lost in the mining of the copper to the point where when somebody says, "Where were you born?" Jack Smith points from the ground up into space where the hospital really was before they dug all that stuff away. He and others say, "I was born in space," and they were. As to the copper mining, well, it was known for centuries that there was copper there. They picked it up. They carried it. The first somewhat organized attempt at mining was in the year 1800 when a local Apache showed a Spanish officer some of the ore, and the mining was started on a small but profitable scale for about 40, 45 years. There was turbulence in the area since the Apache tribes made the mining less attractive because they didn't particularly care to have people there. In 1910, the open pit copper mine was started, and through a number of technologies, a number of owners, and a lot of time, a great deal of copper over 110 years have been produced and shipped from that area. Right now, about 1,000 people work in the operation, though it changes back and forth depending on the world price of copper. When the price of copper goes down to a certain point, nobody is working hardly at all. When it goes up, then everybody comes back to work. Because it's an open pit mine, it also changed the landscape and provides quite a view down to the bottom. I like to stand there and look down there. You see there's hillsides all around, great vistas. In fact, everywhere around southern New Mexico's got great vistas. Well, there is the vista of the Kneeling Nun. There's a legend of the Kneeling Nun, and if you're going near the Santa Rita area, you're going to hear about the Kneeling Nun. It goes back about 400 years. Today, if you look at the mountain to the east of Santa Rita, there's a monolith on top of the plateau. When viewed from a distance and you're inclined to see what you're going to see, it looks like a Kneeling Nun. The legend is, in the early days of the Spanish exploring of what is they called New Mexico, they were looking for the seven cities of gold. They didn't find it. We still haven't found any seven cities of gold. But there were many battles with the local native tribes. One soldier was wounded, was brought to a monastery. Fast forward, you can see the story if you really want to. A young nun named Sister Rita is part of the story. An earthquake destroyed the monastery, and Sister Rita was dubbed Santa Rita, and in the legend was turned into a stone monolith of the Kneeling Nun that you can still see when you drive along there. Again, you sort of have to be inclined to want to see it, but it does look like it. The silver of Silver City was a surprise to the gold miners who were growing crops in the valley of that area. They were searching for gold, which they found some, not much, but they did not recognize they were literally walking all over silver ore, which they didn't know. They were gold miners, not silver miners. There was a silver strike in Lordsburg, about 40 miles to the south of them, so a group of the gold miners decided to go there and look at their operation of the silver mining, because they didn't know what silver ore looked like. One man immediately realized that they didn't recognize silver ore that they had been walking on, and the group hurried back to Silver City area to stake their claims. And San Vicente was the previous name of that area, and by popular demand, it became Silver City with the opening of the first silver mines. The area is great to visit for good restaurants, stores, museums, and let me tell you, lots and lots of friendly people. That's Silver City. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Today I'm talking about someone who in the past, some 50 years ago, visited our little slice of paradise because their grandparents were here. Their grandparents were one of the first families to buy one of those little half-acre ranchettes that were advertised on the back pages of the Saturday Evening Post. You may have to go to the internet to look this up. Most of them didn't have utilities, but the ones they bought did. They were just a few dollars, and here's the thing, that they advertised during the snow times back east when people were snowed in, and they would look at these ads and they thought, wouldn't it be nice to live there? And it is kind of nice. Anyway, Deming, New Mexico is an interesting historical part of our Southwest. It came into official awareness in the late 1850s because it was a stop on the Butterfield Stage Trail. The long stagecoach lines carried passengers and mail between St. Louis and San Francisco. It took about 25 days. Well, they stopped in Las Cruces, they stopped in Deming, they stopped in Lordsburg, when those were just barely a settlement. In 1881, the second transcontinental railroad in America came from the east on its way to the west, and a town was formed where we call Deming. Now, the man in charge of this was Charles Crocker. No, they didn't name the town Crockerville, thankfully. He had a wife, Mary Deming Crocker, and she got the ability to name the town, and she named it from her maiden name of Deming. Much better. It was Deming, New Mexico, that the Southern Pacific was connected to the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Seems like there should be a song in there, wouldn't you think? Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Well, truth be known, the Silver Spike connecting was driven at this time, March 8th, 1881, it connected the Southern Pacific with the Rio Grande, Mexico, and Pacific Railroads, but they were a subsidiary of the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Now, if you go to Deming, there are a number of things to see. There's museums. There's an old locomotive at a park that I love to go look at. Plenty of good food, good people. There is a port of entry south 30 miles at Columbus, New Mexico, which was also the site of an attack by Pancho Villa and his men March 9, 1916. Deming in the 1880s, interestingly, was called informally New Chicago because of all the trade between the territory of New Mexico and Mexico that came up, and that trade was put on trains in Deming. That trade was loaded onto railroad cars and went all over the United States quickly. Now there's still Amtrak passenger service, and there is lots and lots of boxcars of stuff coming out of the West Coast going to the East. Just so you know, though, officially, New Mexico has a certified chili. It's a trademark certification so that you know that the chili that you're picking up and you're going to eat, it actually was grown in New Mexico. The certification trademark lets you know that you're getting the real thing, because there's some out-of-state companies, I sure hate to tell you this, but they try to sell you chili that isn't grown in New Mexico, and they try to call it that. So look for the certified chili trademark seal, New Mexico chili. Ask the New Mexico businesses if what they're using is that. You should see the seal, and you know they do want you to buy New Mexico. These podcasts are sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in New Mexico. Great website showing everything they've got at freshchilico.com. There's also a Facebook group that I encourage you to join. Heck, I even added a tasty treat myself, so it's a good thing on Facebook. You got to ask, and you can be part of it. One thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces or visit, they can go to the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7A, Monday through Saturday. You get to go there 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can get all these products. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, you can write to me, michael@freshchilico.com. michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili's good, more is better, as long as it is Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.